Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land of the Lord your God is giving.
出エジプト記20章12節。あなたの父と母を敬え。あなたの神、主が与えようとしておられる地で、あなたの弱いが長くなるためである。
Good morning. We can do better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing? Today I want to talk about honor, and there's a blessing in honor. To give you a short definition, honor, according to Merriam-Webster online version, it says honor is defined as a good name or public esteem, reputation, a showing of usually merited respect. In the Greek, for those of you who may not know, the Bible is comprised of Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. Greek is in the New Testament. In the Greek, its value is defined, or the word used for honor is fixed value or estimate. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew is from the word heavy or weighty. And we still kind of use that word, phrase, today, right? So-and-so is pushing his weight around. He's talking about using his authority or honor that's given to him and using that to get his own way, his or her way. Today I want to talk about, though, honoring one another. But before I do that, Exodus 20:12, as we just heard, let me read that again. It is, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. Amen. And before I say anything else, happy Mother's Day for you mothers. And thank you for spending this day that is for you with us. It's an honor to have you here. But if you notice, this commandment is written throughout the Bible. Honor your mother and father. And it is the first commandment with a promise. Actually, out of the 10, the only commandment with a promise. You guys know the rest of the 9 commandments? I'm not going to test you, don't worry. Actually, there's only 2 of the 10 commandments that we're supposed to do actively. And one is honor your father and mother, and the other one is keep the Sabbath. The other 8 is do not, do not, do not, do not, do not. Yeah, that's more of actually, my wife is up here trying to coach me as I preach. If you look at old, this is church, and I think we should be, I think we should know the 10 commandments. So let's just turn real quick to Exodus and let's look at the commandments. Just in case we get stopped on the street by Jay Leno or somebody and are asked, you know the 10 commandments, do you go to church? It's found in Exodus chapter 20, second book of the Bible. And I'll read it. It says, and God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven or on earth beneath or in the water below. I'm going to skip to the next one. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Fourth one, remember the Sabbath. I'm going to jump down to the next one. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not covet. So those are the 10. Hopefully we could live by those standards. Amen. But when we do fall short, we have a Savior named Jesus Christ who can Save us from our sins, but also transform us so that we can live according to His standards. Amen. I just want to say that happy Mother's Day again. Mothers, like Min said, you know, they just have a love and a sacrifice about them that is different than any other kind of people around, even animals. Even, you know, you don't want to mess with mothers of any kind of species, especially the human species. And I just want to say, Jesus, although was misunderstood by his mother many times, honored his mother like no one else. If you notice, in John 19, it's an amazing story. In John 19, it's talking about Jesus' crucifixion. And while he is on the cross, he sees John, his disciple, and his mother Mary. And what does he say? He has the presence of mind with all of that. I mean, he has maybe a couple of hours to live, and he has the presence of mind to say to John, take care of my mother. This is your mother now, John. John, this is your son. Amazing. Jesus is just in his last moments, his last breath. I'm sure it was even hard to even say a single word, but he honors his mother in that way. John 19, verse 26. And isn't that promise true? Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. And you may say, wait, but Jesus died young, didn't he? Yes, his body did die, but he has a resurrected body. And he will live eternally now. And even if you want to take this, and he even lives now within each and every one of us. You would think a prophet from a small town with 3 years of ministry, with no notable disciples, I'm talking about in high places, you would think someone like that would have died out a long time ago. 2,000 years later, he has millions of disciples. Millions who would die for him. He has lived long in this land, and he will live eternally. Amen. But I want to talk about just blessing. Well, two things I want to talk about. One, to live in a culture of honor. And two, there is a blessing, a reward for those who honor others. And that's important because a lot of rewards have gone unredeemed in the kingdom, I feel like. There has been a lot of rewards that we have passed by because we lack a culture of honor. Now, Japanese more than American culture, the Japanese culture has a culture of honor more so than the American culture, but I believe we can all still grow in this area of honor. Romans 12:10, it says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Amen. In context, this is talking about a Christian community, but we always want to be in a Christian community that is not insular, but it reaches out and it touches outside. And so I believe as a Christian community, we should love one another and honor one another. But I also believe it needs to come out and touch those outside of the Christian walls. Amen? That we love those outside of ourselves. Now, we are called to live in a culture of honor. And let me tell you, that is countercultural. It is. Scripture clearly points out that we should honor others above ourselves. But what does the world tell us? And what do we tell people when we want to dishonor them? We say, well, you got to earn my respect, right? Right? Isn't that a term we like to use, especially when we don't want to respect the other person? You have to earn my respect. But Jesus and the teaching in scripture is clear. We should value other people regardless if they earned it or not. I mean, the Merriam-Webster dictionary said merited respect. The definition of honor. I believe it was merited. Let me just get it correct. It was, yes, merited respect. But the scripture and Jesus' teaching is talking about unmerited respect. Unmerited value. Well, it's not unmerited. I'll tell you where the merit comes from. Now, in this world, where does honor, where does value come from? I don't know, maybe it comes in height, right? They say people that are 6 feet tall make an average of $5,000 more annually than people that are shorter, like 5'6". Then you would have been a millionaire if you were just a little bit taller, huh? Imagine if I was 6 feet, my salary would be higher. Or if you're a male. In American culture, if you're if you're handsome, if you're good looking, if you're young, if you're rich, if you're popular, if you're funny, if you're famous, go on and on and on. Isn't that where we put our value in? Aren't those the people that are honored? The well-educated. The talented. You could fill in your own blank. And honor is given in this culture based on merit. And it's so easy to strive to get those. And I'll talk about that later. But value and your value comes not because of your height, not because of your age, not because of your bank account, not because of your personality, not because of your appearance, not because of what you can do for me, but scripturally, your value comes from what God is willing to pay for you. Make sense? I heard a story where a minister was, he held up a $20 bill. I don't have a $20 to give, so I could just tell you the story. He had a $20 bill and he said, "Who wants this $20 bill?" And then hands went up. And then he crumpled the $20 bill. And he said, "Who still wants this $20 bill?" And hands still went up. He threw the $20 bill on the floor and he started stomping on the $20 bill. And he says, "Who still wants the $20 bill?" And hands went up. Why? The value of that $20 bill didn't change. Let me tell you, you may have been crumpled up, you may have been stepped on, you may have been thrown to the side. But your value has not changed in God's sight. You are still worth every blood that was spilled on the cross. In John 19:30, going back to that scene where Jesus was on the cross and he said, "John, this is your mother. Mary, this is now your son. Take care of her and you take care of him." And his final words were, "It is finished." And scholars have pointed out that "it is finished" is actually an economic term equivalent to "paid in full." Something like people would stamp on a mortgage. Paid in full. And when Jesus died on the cross, the last word he said was, "Paid in full." 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, You were bought at a price, therefore honor God with your body. You were bought at a price. I don't know if you guys know this, but I used to love collecting basketball cards. And I collected basketball cards because I was hoping that the cards I collected would rise in value. So I've actually spent a lot of money on basketball cards. There are some cards that have risen in value and some cards that have decreased in value. It's not a fixed value. It rises and decreases depending on how well the basketball player is. But imagine if I had a Michael Jordan rookie autograph basketball card. Some might pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for that, right? Now imagine if I had a Akihisa Kawamata rookie basketball card and I signed it. You know, I don't think anyone would buy it. So the value of those two cards are different because of what people will pay for it, right? Let me tell you again. Your value isn't in what I will pay for you. But your value has been fixed in what Jesus has already paid for you. And He paid for you with His life. God said, My one and only beloved Son. And Jesus, when He died, He said, paid in full. You are bought at a price. And so that is why Scripture is very blunt. It says, be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Because each and every one of us, whether we are filled with talent or talentless, very educated, highly educated, or no education at all, very good looking and young with a lot of potential, or, you know, old, beat up, and no more potential left. Same value. I think some of you need to begin to honor yourselves. And stop striving to seek the honor of this world, that this world bestows on us. And there is a danger of seeking to grow in honor through worldly means. And there's always a danger when we seek things outside of God's provision. There is always a danger in that. If you turn with me with your Bibles to Luke. Turn with me to Luke chapter 14. It is a parable about Jesus teaching about honor. Luke chapter 14, verses 1 and on. Let me read. It says, One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. So Jesus was invited to a dinner party, and the guest of the dinner party was a prominent Pharisee, meaning a prominent religious leader. Verse 2, there in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and the expert of the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And so Jesus here, I guess maybe he was being polite. Is it okay if I heal this person? Nobody answered. They remained silent, so he taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked him, If one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will he not immediately pull it out? And they had nothing to say. So Jesus here explains why he healed the man on the Sabbath. Very simple. It's interesting, when Jesus came in the house, all eyes were on Jesus, and they were carefully watching him. Little did they know that Jesus was carefully watching them. And seeing what they would do, how they reacted. And in verse 7, it picks up, it says, When Jesus noticed how the guests picked the place of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, did not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this person your seat, then humiliated you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now Jesus here isn't talking about reverse psychology. He was not a pop psychologist. But he was simply sharing a spiritual truth. That those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The danger of seeking honor through worldly means, through secular means, through selfish ambition, through stepping on other people, through wanting more than what God has called us, will lead us into a lot of heartaches. Will lead us into a lot of disappointment, a lot of complaining, a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, unneeded suffering, unneeded pain. And many have lost their way, seeking ambitiously to become rich and honorable in this world, rather than knowing they have eternal value because of what Jesus has done for us. There is a danger in seeking honor. In this parable, Jesus talks about pecking orders. You guys notice that? You guys know what pecking order is? It's, I think chickens do it, right? We get it from chickens, right? My wife is from the farm, and so she didn't have chickens, but I'm sure she knows chicken tendencies. So pecking order, it comes from chickens, and the strongest chicken, they get the first go at seeds, I guess. Pecking seeds, I think it's about food. And from the strongest on, there's a pecking order. And we learn that at a very young age, don't we? I remember when I was in elementary school and I knew who the cool kids were and I knew who not the cool kids were. I was somewhere in the middle, I guess. So I'd like to think. But Jesus is talking about a pecking order here. He was at a guest. He was at a dinner. He was at a dinner as a guest, and he was watching the guest, and they were picking seats, and they wanted the most honorable seats. And Jesus says this: those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. What does that mean for us as Christians? It's very easy as Christians, even as Christians, but it's very easy as human beings to be full of pride. Especially if we're accomplished. But even if we're not accomplished, for some reason we feel like we know it all, don't we? Or maybe I'm just talking about myself. Last week I was watching basketball, like I normally do. And as I was watching basketball, and I don't know if you guys like watching sports, maybe a couple of you. But as I was watching basketball, but you fill in the blank with your favorite pastime. As I was watching basketball, I noticed the coaching was not too good. Or in my opinion. Of course, this is a coach being paid millions to coach a professional basketball team, and I have enough self-awareness to know that I know more than this coach. Or so I think, right? It's called, in football, it's called, what is it called? I forgot. Like a couch coach. Anyways. But we do that all the time. Maybe I do that all the time. Maybe I just need to repent. I'm sorry, guys. But honoring one another to receive a blessing, it needs to start with humbling ourselves and not thinking we know better, especially when we have not walked an inch in their shoes. So that makes sense to anybody. We oftentimes think we know what's best for somebody else, and we have no idea what that somebody else is going through. We do it in sports, we do it in life. I'm sure we're doing it right now as I preach. It's okay, that's fine. I do it. I mean, I'm the most guilty. You know, because I feel like I'm gifted in giving messages. One of the biggest stumbling blocks for me when I'm listening to somebody else give a message is, oh, he should do, or he should do, or he shouldn't do, or, oh, that's not what that is saying, or et cetera, et cetera, right? Is that just me? Or, I mean, when you're good at something, isn't it easier to criticize somebody? But it's interesting though, when you get above that, like when you're good at something, it's easy to criticize, but when you're great at it, and you're like a master at it, it's almost like you're more encouraging. Because you're not competing with that person, because that person isn't even on your level. Alright. Blessing one another, there is a reward in it. Or honoring one another, there's a reward in it. Let me just finish with this. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 40, Jesus teaches again, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Did you see that? They're going to receive a reward if you honor someone for their calling. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. Again, another reward is given. And here Jesus, and the Bible is very clear that we honor one another because we have infinite value, but in each person there is a specific calling and gifting that is unique to that person. That is true supernaturally as it is naturally. And what I mean by that, naturally, if I wanted to know about politics, which I probably never would want to know about politics, but if I wanted to know about politics, I would go to Min Sensei. Why? Because he's taught politics for, I don't know, numbers of years. Politics. And so naturally he's skilled in that, and I will honor men if I wanted to know about politics, and I will receive a reward about politics. If I wanted to know about something else, I'll go to another person. If I wanted to know how to become rich, I would go to someone who is very rich and ask him about how to become rich. Make sense? Yes. And Jesus here points out, yes, people have specific callings and gifting, and although we honor one another because we all have infinite value, we also honor one another in their supernatural calling and gifting. And if you honor a prophet as a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. If you honor a teacher as a teacher, you'll receive a teacher's reward. If you honor a righteous person as a righteous person, you'll receive a righteous person's reward. If you honor, Bruce Lee as a martial art expert, you'll receive a martial artist's reward. You'll be able to kick faster, punch harder. And so we pass by people every day, and we come to church, and when we interact with people every day, and we miss the reward that person has to offer. Because we do not live in a culture of honor. The most important thing we miss sometimes is honoring God. And that will be next week's sermon. I hope you can join us next week. But in 1 Samuel, God says, those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me will be disdained. And so with God, there is not just a reward when we honor him, but there is also a tragic consequence when we fail to honor him. And it's not that God is going to punish us. It's just that that's just the path we're on when we choose to dishonor God. A life of misery, a life of pain, a life of striving, selfish ambition, a life of heartaches and broken dreams and promises and etc., etc., etc. When we choose not to honor God in his ways, we are on a path of destruction. But when we honor God, there is a reward. Reward waiting for each and every one of us. And so I do encourage you to honor one another above yourself. And start with honoring yourself. Meaning, we all have what's called self-talk. I don't know if you're aware of that. They say, as a child, self-talk is natural and it happens out loud. And so children, you see children talking to themselves all the time. Right? I don't have children, so I don't know. But, yeah? No? And as you get older, you get made fun of if you talk to yourself and you think they think you're crazy. So you stop self-talk. But it doesn't stop, it just happens in your mind. And then they say if you get really old, it starts up again because you don't care what anyone else thinks, and so you start talking to yourself again. But honoring yourself, self-talk, say something positive to yourself. Tell yourself, God has bought me at a price because, and that has given me infinite value. You know, next time you feel like criticizing someone that's an expert at something else, maybe you should stop and honor that person above yourself. Oh, he doesn't know anything about politics, or oh, he doesn't know, she doesn't know anything about flower arrangements. I don't know, you know, or music, or basketball, or preaching, or. Let's begin to honor one another. Amen. And we will only rightly do that when we honor God. And next week I want to talk about that. So hopefully you could join us for next week. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, Lord. And once again, we just want to honor our mothers and fathers, especially our mothers today. Lord, for you have just shown your fierce love through mothers. Your compassionate love through mothers. And we just bless the mothers today. And we want to bless you, Lord, by honoring you, honoring your word, honoring your teaching, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for this time. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.